Hi, everybody. Geraldo here. Welcome to Geraldo Rivera, the podcast. If this is your first time listening, thank you very much for tuning us in. Every week or so, I'll give you my thoughts, my opinions on the air, on the latest news. There's so much to talk about now in the age of Trump. Again, thanks for tuning us in. Here now, the show. Hi, we are live on Facebook. This is Geraldo, the podcast, our 23rd edition of the podcast. This one comes as President Trump is in the midst of his second overseas trip, this one to the G20. The G20 signifies the 20 top industrialized nations in the world, including Russia. It's in Hamburg, Germany. There are tens of thousands of anti-Trump, anti-capitalism, free enterprise protesters out there, but they are always out there. 2001 in Seattle was a lot worse, a lot more violent than this one, although this one looks like it has the possibility as they get drunker and drunker there in Hamburg, and with President Trump's inflammatory presence. I mean, not that he is necessarily doing anything inflammatory, but just, you know, the guy generates a passionate response. So he's there at the G20, and everyone is waiting. You know, the G20 stuff is kind of automatic. The biggest thing I thought that the president accomplished so far is in his speech in Poland to reaffirm Article 5 of the treaty that created NATO, the one that calls for the mutual defense. If any of the NATO nations are attacked, then the United States and the other members of NATO will come to the aid of the nation being attacked. Very, very important, obviously, to a country like Poland, which sits on the border with Russia, and has in the past been invaded, at least by the Soviet Union, prior to the collapse of the Soviet Empire. And there was also a missile deal announced, the United States selling Poland or positioning missiles in Poland that Vladimir Putin objected to, and the Russians have always objected to the escalation of the defense preparations on the line that separates the West from the East, or at least the free world from Russia. I guess in Russia, the difference between Russia and some of those other quote-unquote democracies, not very much. But Putin, Trump, that meeting will obviously generate tremendous, tremendous headlines when it happens. My reaction so far, it's very interesting as people begin tuning in, I appreciate it. My reaction to what's happened so far in Europe is it's kind of as you might expect. Even the G20 demonstrators are kind of just exactly what you would expect. They're the same creepy hoodlums, many of them, that disrupted Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. They bust up a lot of innocent third parties' property, and for some reason they think that that is advancing the cause of egalitarianism and equality on Earth. To me, it's a stupid, stupid waste of time. Mostly spoiled middle-class kids away from their parents getting to break stuff in somebody else's city, someone else's country. It's too bad. But to me, I thought, as a journalist, what is significant to me is here's the president of the United States, and he's having a press conference yesterday with the Polish leader. And the question comes up of his relationship with the media here in the United States. And the president went off again on CNN, who he has declared for various reasons to be his arch enemy. And I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of that too much. What I want to address is specifically the wrestling video, the Reddit post that caused this current flap, with many saying that, you know, the president, by retweeting or whatever you call it when you repost a Reddit video, has been kind of threatening indirectly journalists with violence, that they will be the victims of violence if they continue their anti-Trump stance. And that is the charge against them, that by reposting or retweeting that wrestling video, he is in some ways instigating or, initiating or encouraging violence against journalists. I don't buy it at all. I think it's totally overwrought, that criticism. What happened to people's sense of humor? Everybody knows, for example, if you want to take it just that video, everyone knows professional wrestling is, by and large, it's fake. It's scripted. There's a good guy, a bad guy. The promoters know who's going to win out front. There are very little surprises. It's a grand show, and I don't mean to denigrate the athleticism of the professional wrestlers. It's just that it's fake. You know, it's fake. It's like art. It's like a musical, but it's wrestling. But it's not real. It's fiction. I mean, it's acted out. So, in other words, if you think that the president of the United States is using the pro wrestling video to threaten journalists, since the pro wrestling video depicts a sport that's fake, these complaints must be fake. I mean, it's totally overwrought. Totally overwrought, these complaints that the president is promoting or instigating or promulgating violence against journalists. It's just really not realistic. It really, I have been threatened by experts. I mean, in real life, by neo-Nazis, by militia groups, by various hate groups, by the mafia. The mafia in 1983 cut up my Cadillac convertible, my brand new Cadillac custom-made convertible. They came and sliced it all up. They tore out, the contents of the glove box. They ripped my, with a knife, the interior, my leather seats. Didn't take anything. It was a contract out on me. Yeah, there's a contract out on me. The guy, the mob in Philly. What's his name? I forget his name. He's dead now. But I know what it is to be threatened. By reposting that wrestling video, he wasn't threatening anybody. It was a comic metaphor. You got to roll with the punches. You got to pick your fights. You got to, you've got to keep your powder dry until there's a real offense that can motivate you to do something about it. That wrestling video was a big nothing. And then for CNN to find out who posted the video originally, the Reddit guy who posted the original video, CNN's fine investigative reporters discovered the identity of the Reddit guy. And then what do they do? They say, okay, we're not going to publish his name now unless he does this again, and then we'll publish his name. In other words, his CNN, which is a paragon of virtue in journalism, and they're saying to this guy, this huge news organization is saying to this little nobody, if you keep your mouth shut, if you be a good boy, he's not a kid, by the way, he's an adult, but if you toe the line, we won't out you. But if you do another one of these videos, a Reddit or whatever it is, that in any way promotes or instigates or encourages or in some other way makes more likely violence against journalists or anything that steps out of CNN's line, they were going to publish your name. So to me, CNN is being heavy-handed. They're the ones who are being the bullies, aren't they? They're the bullies saying, okay, we got you now. We got you by the cojones. If you act out, we're going to squeeze and we're going to release your name to everybody. Then you're really going to be, up the creek without a paddle. I just think that, they totally overreacted and it was a very distasteful stance on their part. Good investigative reporting. You got the guy's name and you want to out him if you think that's appropriate. I personally don't, and I wouldn't out him. But it's too bad, I think, that CNN, like Jim Acosta is a terrific reporter. I really like his stuff. I like his style. I love the fact that he's a Latino, that he, he's articulate, he's feisty, and all the rest of it. But now he's obsessing. Like, I think CNN is obsessing. And maybe it's mutually beneficial to Trump, President Trump, and the cable news network that they have each other as their blood enemies. But it certainly seems to me as if, this hostile drumbeat coming from the news network that's supposedly the one in the middle is very disconcerting. I mean, I get MSNBC. They're the ideologues on the left, by and large, although Nicole Wallace, who's on at 4 o'clock Eastern, worked for, I think it was George W. Bush in his administration. But Fox, of course, is the more conservative side, the right side of the ledger. And the premise is CNN's in the middle. So CNN is fair and balanced, to use our expression. But it seems that CNN is not really being very fair and balanced. It doesn't seem like the New York Times, Washington Post, or CNN are sticking to their traditional objectivity. They always were slightly left of center, because most journalists are slightly less left of center. But now it seems that they go out of their way to beat up on Donald Trump. And I think that it's really too bad. I think that Jim Acosta has got to cool it. I think the network's got to cool it. Jeff Zucker's a brilliant man. I've known him forever. He's the guy that hired Donald Trump at NBC. He's the guy that that helped put Celebrity Apprentice on the air. They made tens of millions of dollars for NBC. It's just really, it's too bad that this is. And first of all, I don't like that President Trump brought this up at the press conference, the fake news stuff. I understand that it's this game he's playing with many of the media personalities in the U.S. But, I like that old rule that you don't criticize the president when you don't criticize the president or the country or other politicians when you're overseas. You know, that stuff stays in the borders. I understand CNN is a worldwide outfit and people are interested. That's why the question came up in Poland. But I don't like it. I think that, that stuff should wait until you get home. Then you can, recommence the civil war that's going on. But I just wanted to say that I really do think that the criticism of President Trump now and this relationship with CNN is totally overblown. The atmosphere is unremittingly hostile. And interestingly enough, I think it's starting to boomerang. I think it's starting to break in Donald Trump's favor. If you look at the Rasmussen, granted Rasmussen is the most conservative of the pollsters, but they're also the one that was closest on election day. And Rasmussen has Trump's approval rating at 56%. That's gigantic. So it's obvious that this war with the media is working for the president. I think that everybody's just got to cool it. They've got to just go do their job. And again, the headline should be not fake news, not the war between President Trump and CNN, but the fact that the president has confirmed very explicitly, despite the fact that he may like Vladimir Putin personally, he reconfirmed America's commitment to Article 5 of the NATO treaty that says an attack on one member is an attack on every one of the members, including the United States. I thought that was very, very significant. Of course, the president also stuck it to the other NATO allies by saying, now you guys got to step up to the plate and spend 2% of your gross national product on your own defense. Many of you are squeaking by paying a whole lot less than that because you know the United States will defend you. So I think the president is absolutely right to criticize the NATO, the other NATO members. I also want to talk, this NYPD cop, Miotosis Familia, a female cop, mother of three, including twins. She was shot and killed this week, sitting in her mobile command unit up in the Bronx. The shooter later killed by the cops. But she was targeted, a 12-year veteran, just targeted point-blank range, a single shot. Guy came up behind her, shot her in the head. The guy ran, dressed all in black, black gloves and all the rest of it. The guy ran, had a gunfight with cops, and was subsequently killed. But this cop, this New York officer, NYPD officer, killed. Our condolences to her family, to her children especially. Just being killed because she's cop, blue lives matter. And I just wish that we would remember that. And I hate the rhetoric, the anti-police rhetoric that is all too common. I don't know what role it plays in encouraging acts like this, but I lament her passing. Our condolences again to her family and to the Thin Blue Line. They play the pivotal role in protecting civilized life. I mean, without the cops, without that thin blue line, we'd just be, falling apart, killing each other. Anarchy would reign supreme. So condolences to the cop. Kudos to cops everywhere. And, I just think that I would love to hear activists like Al Sharpton and others praising this female officer slain for no reason other than the fact that she was wearing the uniform. I think it's Black Lives Matter should complain about her being killed. This Latina cop killed by an assassin. Horrifying, just horrifying and heartbreaking. My third and final topic today is a million things to talk about. I'll do another podcast later in the week, but I want to talk about O.J. Simpson. On the 20th of this month, Thursday, July 20th, I'll be going out to his parole hearing in Carson City, Nevada. He's been in jail there in Nevada, in Lovelock Correctional Center. It's a medium security facility in the middle of nowhere in Nevada. He's been there over 8 years, actually almost 9 years. It'll be 9 years by the time he is paroled. I think that he will, in fact, get parole. He was sentenced to from 9 to 35 years, I think it was. And this is this will be the end of the ninth year in October. I think that he should definitely get parole. And I have lots of different reasons for that. Not to mention the fact that he has been a model prisoner. He's 70 years old. I think that he got that stiff sentence. That's a kind of crime. I mean, he had these palookas go with him into this hotel room in Vegas, if you recall. And the whole idea was that somebody was selling his memorabilia. It's a hot item. Obviously, O.J. Simpson is a very intense public figure. They were commanding a price. He was living off the sale of his memorabilia following the massive civil judgment against him when he was found liable in 1997 for the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, the mother of his two children, and Ron Goldman, her friend. After he was acquitted in 95 in the criminal case, he was found liable in the civil case in 1997. This armed robbery happened 10 years after that. And it was a rinky-dink armed robbery. It was a bunch of nobody pretend thugs. They weren't even the real deal. One of them had a gun, and he did take the gun out. I totally get that. I'm not trying to minimize what happened. It's just this wasn't the kind of strong arm stick up that you usually get heavy time for, done by, cons with records as long as my arm. This was dopey O.J. Simpson in his 60s, getting, hey guys, come on, we're gonna get my stuff back, and you packing good, flash it when we get up there. And so they did, and he was guilty of all 12 counts, sentenced from 9 to 35. Everybody else got very minor sentences, including the guys with the guns. Gun or guns, I don't recall if there were more than one. So anyway, the 20th of July, I'll be reporting all day long from the parole hearing. And again, as I have said, I believe that O.J. Simpson will be paroled. He's 70 years old. He has no prior record. Hi, my mother-in-law, Nancy Levy, just joined us. Nancy Melvin Levy in Cleveland, Ohio, where we're soon to be moving. So hi, honey. So 70 years old, no prior record. He's been a model prisoner. He's helped with physical fitness. He's helped the younger inmates. He's talked about how they should, don't get sucked into a life of crime, a dead-end life of crime. He's the kind of guy who gets parole. Now, people say, how can I be in favor of parole when I'm so firmly convinced that he absolutely got away with brutal murder, including the decapitation of his children's mom? Well, that's not what he was convicted for in Nevada. I'm a lawyer, and what he was convicted for was that armed robbery. It had nothing to do with the fact that he indeed got away with double murder. That's another case. I mean, that could give us some internal satisfaction that he's exactly where he should be, finally behind bars. But he's behind bars on a chump rap. He definitely should not still be in jail over that armed robbery that happened in Nevada. I mean, maybe cosmically you wanted to walk out of the Lovelock Correctional Center in the middle of Nevada get hit by an asteroid or something. And, you know, it goes around, does come around. Karma is a bitch. But I believe that O.J. Simpson will and should be paroled on the 20th of July. It'll take some time for him to actually, the process to happen. If he is, as I expect, paroled on the 20th of July, on the 23rd of July, right, Sunday, Craig? 23rd of July, we will be doing an hour special in our old at-large time slot, 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., Sunday night, the 23rd. We'll recap, obviously, the murder and then the robbery and then talk about the process of parole. But I just want to give you a heads up. And again, my headline is O.J. Simpson probably will and probably should be paroled. You know, if indeed the process there is fair and goes by the law rather than the emotion. So that's it. Just summarizing, you know, I think this war between the president and the media is overwrought, overblown. I want everything to cool down. I'm not Pollyanna about it. I understand how this attacking the media is probably working for the president, if that Rasmussen poll is any indication. Again, the president in the middle 50s in terms of approval, according to the Rasmussen poll. I'm sure that some of the others are lower, but still, that is a very firm indication that the president is taking root. I like the fact that he's going to meet with Vladimir Putin. I'm sure he's going to be tough and pro-American, and you know, maybe they'll wink and nod about the allegations of Russia and collusion and so forth. But to me, what happens between Putin and Trump is one thing. What happens between Trump and the President Trump and the media is another. And I get to say what I get to say about that, and I want everyone to cool it. And there is no doubting or denying that the atmosphere toward the president has been unremittingly hostile, just for general purposes, not for any of the, I mean, for a lot of the specific things he's doing. But moreover, it is a general hatred of Trump that is more visceral than anything I have ever seen, including George W. Bush following the Iraq invasion or the 2008 financial collapse. You know, it is visceral. It is palpable. The hatred has really divided the country. I think that as the president becomes more popular, maybe some of this will fall by the wayside. I'm not saying that Democrats should cease resisting, that they should, you know, what Democrats have to do is develop an agenda, heal their party, run reasonable, sane, professional, competent races with good, qualified candidates who aren't afraid to take on the Republicans and their philosophy. They got to take back some of those state houses. They got to take back some of those state legislatures. They've got the Democrats have a lot of work to do. I'm not saying you're going to, you know, kiss the president's ass or anything like that. I just think that, you know, the Scalise shooting and all the rest of the stuff that's gone on out there, I mean, that's real. That's real. We just got to cool things down. We have so many things in common. I would love the president. You know, I don't think this healthcare thing is going to happen for him. If it does, you'll deal with the Republican legislators who are up for election next year in the midterms, 2018, will deal with the consequences if Obamacare is indeed repealed and replaced by something that is less compassionate, put it that way. But stop with the personal attacks and enough with the hair jokes and, you know, all the rest. I think it's really very tiresome. So that's that. Again, condolences to the families of Officer Familia. And O.J. Simpson should be and probably will be paroled on the 20th of July. So that has been our 23rd edition of the podcast. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy Wilkins Tucker. Have a good night. Michael Amador, thank you very much. Michael writes, they hate him, but hopefully they'll get over it. Yeah, from your lips to God's ears. I miss Geraldo at Large. Would love to see it back on, writes Lynn Cox Botar, is that? Love your opinions on today's news. I appreciate that. Okay, that's it. Tune into Geraldo.com to find the podcast. Free. It's free. Thanks.